Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS.
Testing 1-2. Testing 1-2. Can you hear me, Matt?
It's a good thing you guys can't hear what's going on behind the scenes because we do a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, we were just, we don't have much time to do a whole lot of nothing. You did get here early today, 15 minutes is a
record. I was here preparing for all of everything that we didn't talk about.
Well, listen, we're going to have a couple of guys on today. We're gonna have my boy from Pro Football Backs. Football, you know who I'm talking about.
ProFootballTalk.com?
ProFootballTalk.
No, it's ProFootballGuru.
Guru.com.
Which one is it?
ProFootballGuru.com.
@BaxFootballGuru?
Yeah, it's my buddy Russ Baxter. We got a lot of stuff. Hey, man, NFL will be on top of us in 2 weeks. You know, the Redskins, at least the Washington football team, I'm not going to call them Redskins anymore. I'm just not going to. Well, you can call them whatever you want. But
Washington Redskins.
The Washington NFL football team will be hosting the New England Patriots on the 7th. And you know how I've got people calling me for tickets to a preseason game because they love New England. You know, they're cheaters, obviously, these people. What was that? Oh, my God. Hey, don't you have that on there? Somewhere. Anyway, we were going over hoaxes earlier, and I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to talk about the hoax, but it was a hoax about a shooting. Mm-hmm. And, I'm one of these guys that looks on, I have no problem kind of jumping on board with certain conspiracy theories because, as you know, I'm an expert at the Kennedy assassination. But that actually happened, and we know there was more than one guy that shot the president. Man. And there were a lot of people involved, and for the most part, everybody knows who it is, but nobody cares because most of them are dead now. Some of their kids are still alive, and there are one or two big players that are still around. But on the 50th anniversary this past year, a lot of that stuff started coming out, and it's good that it is. Our kids need to know that the government isn't above doing the wrong thing. And that's what our founder...
Above doing the right thing.
No, about doing the wrong thing, because that was the wrong thing. That's my phone, for crying out loud. I've got a million texts coming in.
Hit silent.
No, I don't know how to do that.
It's a switch inside the phone.
Grant Paulson. Oh, I hope he calls in.
1-0-6-7 the farm.
Yeah, he's fine. I like the deal, though. Evan Hawkes, affirmative. Hey, I'm in good shape. So anyway, we're going to have a great show today. But I'm so excited. And by the way, I did go to Philly, saw my buddy Bruce Bochy on my day off. They were up the night before winning in 14 innings. They didn't get to bed till 4:00 in the morning. So I got up there, around lunchtime. I went to Philly early. I took one of Bochy's best buddies from San Diego there. We had a great time. He was incredibly, just impressed with my NASCAR type driving on the way to Philadelphia. Oh, I made it to Philly from DC in 2 hours flat.
Was
which
he
is
impressed
impossible.
Or was he scared to death?
No, he wasn't scared. This guy's lived a long life and he likes
to. So he was ready to go.
Yeah, he had his seatbelt on and he likes to drive fast anyway. And he was like, he was going, you know what? It's been a long time since I've been with somebody that drives like this. And I said, you sound like my wife. And he said, no, I enjoy it. I'm sure your wife clutches to the daggone rails. And I said, oh, yeah, she does. And she's been with me for 30 years.
When we drove up to New York, I think it was our first time in New York, so it was probably like 2 or 3 years ago. And Bruce was like, yeah, come with me. I'll drive up. I thought he was going to kill me. I mean, we made it to New York in like 3.5 hours, which you don't do.
Well, we made it to Westchester in
three and a half hours. Right, to Westchester. I was like, oh, my God, you're
going
to kill me.
Well, the key is just making sure that most of the time you're only going 9 over the speed limit. And I don't, what a lot of people don't understand. And kids, if you're listening... Listen to this. If you're in the left lane, drive a little faster than you do if you're in the middle or right lane. Because all of these idiots that we hand out stuff, the left lane is for the people that are going fast. The right lane is for the slow pokes. If you're going to drive slow, morons of Maryland, and that includes everybody with a Maryland license plate because you can't drive a lick, get the hell over in the right lane where you belong, please. Correct?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, you agree with... Yeah, because you lived in Maryland. You know what I'm talking about. You're listening to Bruce Hall's... you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're excited. Talk to Marty this week. I'm going to go up to New York real soon. Evidently, Bob Wolf's big deal at the museum and at the Library of Congress is happening sometime in August. So we got to make sure we're there for that. I can't wait to see Bob again. Bob, if you're listening to the show, we love you, buddy. And
he hates us.
No, he does not. Bob loves our show. Bob likes all... Look, I'm a kid to Bob. He loves
that's
kids.
That's why he hates the show.
Bob loves kids.
Damn kids.
No.
They're sarcastic.
We're not sarcastic. I mean,
we're not sarcastic at all.
We tell it the way it is. Anyway, we're going to talk... Hey, we got a big day for... Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. And I said a long time ago, the Hall of Fame means nothing to me until Pete Rose goes in. And I mean that. Pete Rose, arguably the best hitter that ever lived over a period of 22 years that he played in the major leagues. But today, Frank Thomas, former War Eagle from Auburn, who was recruited by Pat Dye to play football at Auburn University. And he ended up playing baseball for Hal Baird, who was a suite mate of mine at East Carolina University. He was actually in the suite next door, but we were all together. Frank Thomas, phenomenal hitter. Never used steroids because he was a beast when he got into the league, and he was a beast when he left the league. Had great hands. I'm going to tell you, let me just read some of these numbers to you. Lifetime. I mean, this guy played, I'm just sitting here looking at all of these incredible batting average 90, 330, 91, 318, 92, 323, 93, 317, 353, 308, 349, 347. That's nine straight years where he
Who's
hit
that?
Him. Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas.
Yeah. You know, he played for the Chicago White Sox, was a stud.
It's a big hurt, right?
Big hurt. Yep. Greg Maddux, as we know, started out in 86 with the Chicago Cubs. Took a couple years to get it going. Actually threw in the low to mid-90s at the beginning of his career. Had some arm problems. Then he figured out how to pitch. Once he figured out how to pitch, listen to these earned run averages. 2.18, 2.36, 1.56. When's the last time you saw a guy pitch for an entire year and have a 1.56 earned run average? Next year, 1.63. 2.72, 2.20, 2.22. Then he went 3.57, had a little bit of an off year in 99. Then he goes 3.00, 3.05, 2.62. And then his last 6 years, he was just kind of hanging on. Was traded back to the Cubs. We have 2 minutes. I thought we had a caller.
Hey,
peace, brother. But then he, got traded back to the Cubs, and he ended up a Dodger for half of a year. Then he ended up in San Diego, back with L.A., retired after 23 years with a lifetime 3.16 ERA. Greg Maddux is a pretty sick individual when it comes to practical jokes and stuff like that, I hear. But besides that, and also he drives very old cars. He lives in Las Vegas. He's a scratch golfer. Greg, congratulations. You drove people crazy. There was a time when Maddux could make a ball move like nobody else. His two-seamer could go either way. I mean, he had a cutter before anybody knew what a cutter was. He used to sit in his own dugout before a game. This is no kidding. And watch the other team take batting practice. No pitchers do that anymore. They just don't. They'll look at film of the hitters during the games. But this was before everybody had an iPad. Now all the players have iPads with the opposing team's hitters from two or three different angles that they can look at and study. Which guys do that? I would imagine the good ones do it and the bad ones don't. Tommy Glavine was drafted in the second round by the Edmonton Oilers in the National Hockey League in 84 or 83. They actually have Tom Glavine's scouting report sitting in Turner Field, like in a frame. And he was like, nobody, if you read a scouting report, the guy's never going to make it. He might make it to A ball, and that's it. I'm going to talk about Tommy Glavine, Bobby Cox, Tony La Russa, and Joe Torre when we come back. But I have a very important announcement to make. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back talking some MLB Hall of Fame inductees that were released this week, I believe. Bruce is running down their numbers, checking them out.
Robert Joseph.
Praising them and at the same time shunning them because his boy isn't in.
No, but let me tell you, this is absolutely the best, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. This is the best group to go into the Hall of Fame in a long time because three of the best coaches.
This is your time.
This is your time. I saw that movie this week again.
First time?
He is, you know, let me tell you,
such a good movie.
Kurt Russell is a great actor.
Yeah.
Skrull.
Again.
Hey, but listen, Bobby Cox. Took his team to 14 straight playoffs. That's never been done.
How many times was he ejected? Did we find that?
Well, you know what? I found an article, 158.
158?
Yeah, and I've only been tossed like 10 times.
That's almost an entire season.
But he is my hero.
Every day.
Well, let me just tell you what Bobby Cox does. Bobby Cox backs his boys up. You know, when somebody screws with one of his boys, he screws with the umpires.
Is that the record for 100?
Oh, absolutely.
It's never going to be broken either because now we have replay.
And he coached from 1978. Let me read Bobby Cox's records as he became a manager. He started out in Atlanta in 78, and this is when everybody watched TNT, and the Braves were on TBS all the time. Yeah. And they became America's team for baseball, very similar.
They're always on.
Can you hear me?
They're always on.
Make it closer.
Can you? Yeah, you're not.
I can hear him.
But anyway, in 79, he was 66 and 94. The next year, he was one game over 500 in 1980, 81 and 80. During the strike season, 50 and 56. The next year in 82, 78, 84. The next year, he was in Toronto, 89 and 73. Went to Toronto for 4 years. Then he was 99 and 62. Went to the World Series in Toronto, and pretty sure he didn't win it. He did not. And then in 1990, he was...
Sure about that?
Yeah, because you know what? He took a couple of years off from 85 to 90. And in 1990, he went 40 and 57 when he got a job about two-thirds of the way in. 91, here we go. This is the run. 94 and 68. 98 and 64. 104 and 58. 68 and 46 in a strike season in 94, 90 and 54, 96 and 66, 101 and 62, 106 and 56, 103 and 59, 95 and 67, 88 and 74, 101 and 59, 101 and 61, 96 and 66, 90 and 72, and then he started dropping off towards the end of his career a little bit. He was 79 and 83 in 2006. In 2006.
So before 2006, how many winning seasons in a row did he have?
No, it looks like 12.
12 winning seasons in a row?
Yeah, I mean, this guy was unbelievable. He only, you know...
The Braves were dying.
They only won one World Series, and that's what all the haters talk about. He was National League Manager of the Year 4 times, American League Manager of the Year once. He won one World Series in 95 as a manager. He won 4 National League pennants, 4 All-Star games managed, 16 playoff appearances, the most of any time of any manager, 29 seasons as a Major League skipper, 67 postseason victories, 161 manager ejections, and that's the one I underline because I love him.
How many was it?
161. So all you guys, so all you umpires in the Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League, watch out for me next year
because I got
to make up some ground. I don't think I could live long enough to get ejected that many times. Huh? I'd have to get ejected literally 4 years in a row every game to be able to catch Bobby by the time I'm 65. So that's not going to happen. Yeah, I could do it, but I'm not going to do it. I'm getting too tired for that. Tony La Russa, who's not my favorite guy.
Who's my favorite guy?
I hate him. I just don't like him.
Why?
First, because number one, he's an attorney. And number two, and he's a cheater. And number Number two, he's a goofy dude.
Why is he a cheater?
Well, because he let guys shoot up steroids in his locker room for years.
Well, everybody did that.
No, they did it in his locker room, if you read the book. Canseco would do it in the bathroom of the locker room. He would do it in his locker. They would get towels and hold them up. And I'm just telling you, the one great thing about Canseco's book is it's true.
What about Bobby Cox? Did he have anybody shoot up in his locker room?
I don't think so, because if you think about who he had playing for him back then, Chipper Jones, I mean, you know, he, no. And I'm thinking, McCann, no. I mean, think about some of these guys. You know, the guy that he drafted, one of the last guys they drafted, him and Frank Wren. And I picked him up on my score sheet team, Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
Big old dude. But no, I don't think Freddie. I mean, I don't.
Well, you got to look at the steroid era, though.
Yeah, but I'm thinking back at the era, and he just didn't have those kind of guys.
Roger Clemens?
Well, no, I know one guy did. Ron Gant did it. Ron Gant was an MVP one year.
Let's look at Ron Gant.
Was a steroid guy. I'm telling you, I can tell just looking at the guy. I mean, he just bled steroids. But Tony La Russa, listen to his records. Started out with the White Sox in '79 and '80, went 70 and '90, '91.
Gary 50, Sheffield, David yeah, Justice.
There
Danny
you go,
Eagle,
David Justice
Todd
for
Pratt,
sure.
Kent Merker.
Well, you're getting
Mike
them.
Stanton, Paul Bird.
There you go.
Matt Franco and
okay.
John Rocker, all Braves that were named. So they would have played another.
All right, well, let's do athletics. Do athletics in St. Louis Cardinals now.
Okay.
All right, but I'm going to read you his line. You know, he won his managerial tenures, 2,728 and 2,365 was his record total. That's pretty good. That's about 60%. He won three World Series, six pennants, 14 postseason appearances, just behind Bobby Cox.
Mm-hmm.
Three times he was American League Manager of the Year, one time National League Manager of the Year, three World Series wins, three World Series, you know, championships, three American League pennants, three National League pennants. He managed six All-Star games, 14 playoff appearances, like I said, 33 seasons as a Major League Baseball skipper. That's more than Bobby Cox. His career winning percentage is .536. You know, I'm telling you, this guy did a pretty good job. And he made it in, and I'm glad he did. Joe Torre. Now, here's a guy that started out as a Milwaukee Brave, okay, and as a player.
Uh-huh.
He and his brother, Frank Torre, who died of cancer not too many years ago. And Joe was a great player. I've got his rookie card. It's probably worth $350, $400, okay? Joe Torre started coaching in 77, not, you know, right around the time these other guys did. And here are his records. You got to remember, when he was with the Mets his first 5 years, the Mets weren't very good. 49 and 68, 66 and 96, 63 and 99, 67 and 95, 41 and 62. Didn't look like a Hall of Fame manager starting out, did he? Then he goes to Atlanta, and he's 41 and 62, or 89 and 73, 88 and 74, 80 and 82, strike season in St. Louis, 24 and 34. And then, see, here's where it starts, St. Louis, 84, 78, 83, 79, 87, 75. Had two bad years in St. Louis, 53 and 61, 20 and 27. Still not looking like a Hall of Fame manager. And, oh, he goes to the Yankees where they spend $250 million a year when everybody else is spending $50 to about $100, and they start buying wins for him. 92 and 70, 96 and 68, 114 and 48, 98 and 64, 87, 74, 95, 65, 103 and 58, 101, 61, 101, 61, back-to-back seasons, 95, 67, 97, 85, 94, 68, 84 and 78, 95 and 67. And in his last year, when he was with the Dodgers, his last 3 years, 80 and 82, below .500. And he makes it in based on, in my opinion, a combination of his coaching talents, but even as a player, he was pretty damn good. He was a catcher. And he ended up playing some third base, and a little bit of left field. Let's look at some of his numbers from a standpoint of you know, postseason stuff. He was manager of the year in the American League twice. He had four World Series championships. That helped. 6 league pennants, 6 All-Star games managed, 15 postseason appearances, 29 seasons as a skipper in the major leagues. These guys' numbers are incredibly almost the same. I'm happy for Joe Torre. I'm not a big Torre fan. I'm not a big La Russa fan. I love Bobby Cox. Bobby Cox, in my opinion, was probably the best manager of his time. And my buddy Bruce Bochy, who is obviously not with this group yet, but he will be. You know, he will be. If he stays healthy, and if the Giants continue to spend a little bit of money to help him win some games. They just picked up Jake Peavy, by the way, which I said, I told Boch, and he'll get mad at me for saying this. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I loved Jake when he was in San Diego, but he had such a severe back injury mm-hmm. in the last couple of years. I mean, they literally had to sew his scapula back on him.
It's a good pickup, though.
Well, it was a good pickup because he can eat up innings, which they needed somebody to do. But I would have gone after David Price. I would have given him whatever it took because if they had Madison Bumgarner and David Price as their 1-2, who would beat them in the next 3 years?
What do you got to give up to give David Price?
It doesn't matter. I'd give it up. That's not what they were worried about. They weren't worried about giving up the talent. They had the talent. You know what they were worried about? What they'd have to pay to sign David Price and pay to sign Pablo Sandoval and to pay to Timmy Lenskov and all these guys.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I mean, you can get David Price for the rest of the season, but then keeping him around,
and I
that's the key.
Yeah, well, see, I wouldn't even get him if I wasn't going to keep him around. Here's the thing. Their payroll right now is about $165 million. Mm-hmm. If they brought David Price on, it would be about $190.
Tampa's playing better too.
Yeah, but they're not going to win it. You know that, and I know that. They just don't hit enough.
They're 6 games out.
Yeah, I know, but I don't see it happening. I see this as a big run because the Yankees are buyers now. The Yankees are trying to win. They're not selling like I said they should. They're trying to buy.
Well, they're in control of the wild card right now. I believe they're what, 2 games out of first place in the AL East.
Well, they're trying to
3
get,
games.
Hey, have you seen the crowds over there? They're small, and they're trying to get people back in the stadium. And they know if they're in a pennant race, that people will come. There'll be a walk up at Yankee Stadium, and it should be. It's Yankee Stadium. I'm Bruce Hall. Roy and I are talking about the inductees for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Let's talk about Pete Rose for a second.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, I know he bet on baseball. Great. Mm-hmm. It has to do with the way he reacted when he was caught. He reacted like a kid that had caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and he denied it, he denied it. Then when he finally admitted it, everybody based. Bart Giamatti died during that time when he was stressing out over it. Faye Vincent took over. Giamatti was his best friend, and Vincent didn't let anything happen. And Bud Selig is a, let's just call him a piece of male anatomy with ears. And he's not going to do anything anyway because he's a piece of crap commissioner to begin with. He's horrible no matter what you read about him. He is a used car salesman that basically is still the owner of the Milwaukee Brewers, in my opinion. I mean, that's what I see. Now, I'm happy for the Brewers because since he is like basically pulled himself away from the Brewers, they're playing a hell of a lot better. You know, they are playing a hell of a lot better. Is that 3?
Good. 30 seconds.
That's 30? Okay.
And how long have we been doing this?
La, 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 la. I can't tell, man. Well, what is this? This is 3. This is 30.
Yeah.
And this is read between the lines.
That's right.
Hey, and we don't even have to sell anything on this. We're going to come back.
On the other side of the break, we have
Russ Baxter. Yeah, we got Russ Baxter coming in.
ProFootballGuru.com.
I love him. I love him. He loves you too, Roy.
1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We are going to head into some NFL talk now as we will be joined shortly by Russ Baxter of ProFootballGuru.com. Before we get into that, Bruce, there was some NFL news this weekend. Roger Goodell passed on a suspension of Ray Rice for 2 games. A lot of people thought it was going to be 4 games, and a lot of people now have pointed to that the NFL doesn't care about women. So what was your initial reaction to the suspension first? And then we'll get into the details of all that. I do have the official Ravens statement and the Ray Rice statement, so we'll get into that after we talk about the reaction. So
I think any time that a professional football player or a professional athlete or a man of any type or any size uses his fist to silence a woman, I think he needs to, two things need to happen. He needs to be dealt with severely, and he needs to go to jail.
Okay.
I mean, I think he should have done jail time. I don't think there's any. Now, she didn't want to press charges, right. and they got married like within a month.
Right.
You know, and they had the stupidest press conference I've ever seen in my life. They should have. He should get four games for the press conference, because the press conference did more harm than him hitting her, in my opinion. Because basically, you could just look at the press conference and go, "This is horse crap." Mm-hmm. You know this. What? Who said this was a good idea? This was not a good idea, Ray. This was not a good idea. The owners and the upper level management of the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. This made Ray look stupid. It made his wife look like she's just not going to do anything. And listen, I don't care how upset she got and what she said. And even if she slapped him, it's not self-defense when you uppercut your fiancé.
To be fair, we never saw any video of him hitting her.
No, but there is video.
There is video.
And everybody that has seen it says it was pretty bad.
But to be fair, it hasn't been released, and I haven't seen it.
No, but there's a reason they haven't released it. Mm-hmm. It's not to get him less time. It's because he'd get more time.
Well, I don't think Ray really had anything to do with it, the non-release of the footage.
I think the Baltimore Ravens did, and I think the attorneys for Ray Rice did.
No. Okay, the attorneys.
Well, who do you think's not getting it released? It's got to be his attorneys.
I think that the fact that there was no charges pressed is the reason why it was never released. It's a non-case. There's no real. She didn't press charges. She came out in the press conference and apologized for her actions in the dispute, for whatever happened. Look, I'm all against hitting women. Okay,
I think that's good to know. You know,
wrong.
Are you going on the record saying that?
Yeah, I'm going on the record.
Okay, that's good, because if you ever run for office, you might get elected.
I'm not running for office. But there, to be fair, we haven't seen what really happened. We have no idea what happened. What we saw is Ray, the video of Ray Rice
dragging her out of the elevator.
Right, dragging her out of the elevator, right. And that alone sparked people's imaginations, and that has caused the uproar. We haven't seen the other video. I guarantee Roger Goodell has seen that video. I guarantee he has seen the video of Ray Rice hitting, uppercutting, headbutting. Right. We have no idea.
Well, let's talk about Roger Goodell for a second.
Sure.
Who does Roger Goodell work for?
Himself?
The owners of the NFL. He's hired by the owners. He's paid $17 million a year by the owners. What does Roger Goodell generally do 100% of the time? He does whatever the owners tell him to do.
Yeah, sure.
So
Not all the time, though.
No bullshit.
I wouldn't say all the time.
I'm just telling you, that's BS. That Roger Goodell, in my opinion, is absolutely a puppet.
So Josh Gordon, his being suspended for a year, the owners wanted that?
I think that he had to send a message with that. Josh Gordon, how many times has he been busted?
What about Terrell Pryor being suspended 4 or 5 games, whatever it was, after the NCAA violations? Did the owners want that before the draft?
I would say that has a lot to do with the fact that Oakland doesn't have much to stand on when it comes to the commissioner's office.
But Oakland hadn't drafted him yet.
No, but Terrell Pryor is also a guy that got in so much trouble in college that he went straight into the pros, very much like the guy that ended up in jail from Ohio State, the running back. And by the way, that running back has turned his life around after, 8 years, evidently? And I'm trying to think what his name is. Everybody out there knows who I'm talking about. Big, physical, tough, high school / Ohio State freshman, Heisman Trophy winner.
Maurice Claret.
Yeah, Maurice Claret. Yeah, Claret. Great athlete. He got busted with drugs and a bunch of weapons in his front seat of his car. Ended up doing 3 years in jail, you know, and said it was the best thing that ever happened to him because he was going to just – he had a death wish.
So here's the issue here that people have is that – and I see a lot of people on social media and stuff like that. They're comparing this to the, the drug charges and some of the other things that have gone down within the NFL, like Ben Roethlisberger and the alleged – rape that went down, and he got 4-game suspension, and Ray Rice is only getting 2. So here's my kind of my take on all of this. Okay? In the NFL Players Association, in that agreement, there is a set clause for drug suspensions. It says laid out clear as day: first offense, second offense, third offense.
But there's nothing about spousal knockouts.
There is nothing about anything. There is defacing.
Well, maybe there will be now.
Exactly. You know? There's defacing the league, and when you get charges, DUIs, that kind of thing, you get suspended. There are certain ways to go about suspensions that way. And the difference between Ben Roethlisberger and his case of rape allegations
right.
was that the woman pressed charges. If his wife presses charges,
it's probably more.
Ray Rice is getting more games.
It might have been 4, 6, or 8.
Right.
Yeah.
The fact here is his wife didn't press charges.
No, I think that, well, first of all, I know they have one child. They may even have one on the way. Somebody said that they thought she was pregnant. You know, I mean, it's the but it's the mother of his children.
They do have a child, yes.
So the thing about that is in reality. And they're married now, legally.
They are married.
So that is a different story. And you know what?
And he didn't do any jail time.
I don't personally care if it's 2 or 4 or 6 or 8. I just think that I'm glad there was a punishment.
I thought he was going to get 4 games.
Yeah, I did too. I thought a month was what he deserved.
I thought he was getting 4. I thought he was going to get 4 games. I thought that was when I first saw everything. And then when they came out with 2 games, I didn't have the outrage that some people are going. I mean, some of these people wouldn't have been who are screaming for his head. Some of these people wouldn't have been happy if he hadn't lost the whole season. I mean, that's just the way that we work.
Yeah,
with this.
and they're not Raven fans
right.
either. And here's the thing.
I mean, I'm not Ravens fan
either. But listen to me. Here's what happens when it comes down to how many games he gets. Who do you think is at that meeting? The Ravens are at
absolutely.
That meeting. His attorneys are at that meeting.
Ray Rice was at that meeting. Absolutely.
Well, he might have been there,
he met with Goodell.
But my point is he didn't even have to be at that meeting. That had to be Goodell and the Ravens and his attorney. And those three entities decided how many games he was going to get. And let's just face this for reality. What's the bottom line? The NFL. This is all about the NFL. What's best for the NFL? Well, it's good. We have to suspend him, but we really need Ray Rice to make, you know, a slight run. He's our best running back. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to lose him for 4 games, or we may be out of it by the time October rolls around, or we'll be far enough behind that we may not be able to catch up. Because you and I both agree, Pittsburgh is going to be better this year. Cincinnati is going to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. Johnny Manziel may bring another win or two to Cleveland.
Right.
So the Ravens may only win 8 or 9 games.
So when you look at it from that point of view,
yeah.
then
that's how I look
then,
at it.
So then you so then me taking that from what
yeah
then the league doesn't care about the him hitting his wife.
I agree, they don't.
Okay,
so I don't think the league cares about anything about the league and their value.
Okay,
hey,
then you would side on the people who are attacking the league and saying that they don't care about women and that kind of thing.
No, I would say they probably care about women about as much as every corporation that's worth billions of dollars in the United States cares about women.
Yeah.
Hey, women still don't get paid as much as men, no matter where you go and look. Supposedly, I haven't seen any figures on it. My wife does real well.
I'm not going to touch that.
No, but listen to me. No. You got to understand. I mean, this liberal over here will tell you that, because that's all we hear out of the White House is women still don't make as much as men. Here's my point. The league only cares about the league first and foremost. Hey. First and foremost, it's the NFL. Mm-hmm. The NFL has to get better. They got to make more money. They got to keep their face that they want everybody to look at. And if that it doesn't mean they don't care about women, but it's definitely not a priority of theirs.
Right, I agree. All right, here's the official statement from General Manager and Executive Vice President Ozzie Newsome from the Baltimore Ravens. He says, "We appreciate the thorough process the league office used to evaluate the incident with Ray Rice. The time the commissioner spent with Ray Rice and Janae, that's his wife, is typical of extra steps in the NFL takes when making decisions regarding discipline issues. While not having Ray for the first 2 games is significant to our team, they do play 2 division opponents. We respect the league's decision and believe it is fair." He went on to say, "We also regret the efforts... Or we also respect the efforts Ray has made to become the best partner and father he can be. The night was not typical of Ray Rice that we know and respect. We believe that he will not let one night define who he is, and he is determined to make sure something like this never happens again."
That was a great. I doubt that Ozzie wrote that, but that is a perfect thing to say. And once again, What Ray, we haven't talked about this, and we got about 30 seconds till we break. One of the things that Ray did do in the city of Baltimore was he did a lot of special things for kids.
Right. He has done a lot of...
And I got to tell you, that had a lot to do with this.
Absolutely. Up to this point, he's always been considered a character guy. He's never been in trouble. Whereas that's what the league really looks into part with.
Roy, you're always going to give that guy a little bit of better
deal. A little bit of a break, yeah.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back with Bruce Hall's second opinion in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's second opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, we'll go right down.
Sticking with...
I love it. I'm going to go right down. NFL, listen, I get excited. Matt's told me every break, Bruce, you're too excited. You're getting, people can't hear you as well. You need to get your
Bruce,
tone
I have
down.
No idea what you're saying. You need to calm down.
Yeah.
That's the typical talk.
Yeah, well, that's Matt, you know. But Packers signed Jordy Nelson to a 4-year, $39 million extension. Hey, this is a guy that went to a Division III school, I think, and wasn't all that great. And in college. And I think he gets drafted in like the second or third round. Can you check and see when Jordy Nelson was drafted? And he ends up being one of he's a great quarterback's, you know.
Mm-hmm. He's taking the second round, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great quarterback's favorite receiver because he never drops the daggone ball.
And he went to Kansas State, which is a big school.
Yeah, that is a big school. I didn't think he went there, though.
Yeah, he went to Kansas State.
Why did I think he went somewhere? Oh, you know what? It's somebody else up there. It's another receiver that they have that went to a small college.
Who, Green Bay?
No, yeah, and it was a backup last year that somebody got injured. Maybe Jordy got injured. Remember, he was injured some last year? And pretty sure this guy came out of nowhere and started making catches. Geno Smith, I expect to be a top five quarterback. You know, Geno, whatever.
James Jones. That's
yeah, James Jones, that's yeah. him. Niners running back Kendall Hunter, who is their backup. Running back, third down guy for the Niners, tears his ACL. He's done for the year. Antonio Smith talks about Matt Schaub getting back his mojo.
Matt Schaub finds a new home down there in Oakland, which he gets your boy James Jones, who you're just talking about.
Traded
over to Oakland.
And I got to tell you, Oakland is going to get better because they have no choice.
Well, they can't get any worse.
If they don't get better this year, I'm afraid my friend Reggie McKenzie might be looking for a job. Because I don't know how many years you give a GM. I think you give a GM 4 or 5 years to at least turn it around.
Well, I mean, they have Maurice Jones-Drew. They still have Run DMC. They picked up Justin Tuck from the Giants. They still have old man Charles Woodson. So that's good for something, right? They picked up Greg Little, James Jones, like we just talked about. Yep. They did get Carlos Rogers, an ex-Redskin, ex-San Francisco.
Who's a stud.
I mean, they have a lot of talent. Lamar Woodley's on this squad. They are starting to pick up a lot
They're
of talent
old.
Here.
They're old.
They, I mean, the Raiders have always
Why is,
kind of
What
been
is it about the Bay Area? Is it Napa Valley? Do they drink wine when they get older?
They
I
do
don't
drink
understand.
A lot of wine out there.
I know my buddy Bruce loves wine, and evidently he's got a wine cellar that's second to none. Let's do this. By the way, there was bad news, and I saw the press conference, and I actually turned it off because I didn't want to hear it. Because it was just, you know, it's a little too close to home. Because if you know anybody that has dementia or suffers from Alzheimer's disease, you know how debilitating and how sad that can be. Because you basically just lose your mind. You don't even know who some people are that you talk to. Your kids, your family members, your good friends. And Pat Bolin, the owner of the Denver Broncos, yeah. And they've won 2 Super Bowls. He's a great owner, but he's stepping down as the owner, I guess to get treatment probably and do some things he wants to do before, you know, things get worse. Mm-hmm. There is not a cure for Alzheimer's. They don't know much about the brain. I mean, it's funny, the brain, if you talk to any brain surgeon or a doctor that deals with brain injuries and stuff, they can't really give you answers. They have an idea what is going on. But almost everything you read about brain injuries and brain situations with people is all new. In other words, and a lot of them, they're just guessing, which is really, really strange. Unlike the heart. The heart, you know, there's been so much. It's a big – all the heart is a big pump. all your brain is gray matter that in other matter that have tons of chemicals running through them all the time that do everything for you. You know, and I mean, certain parts of your brain handle certain things with your body. Some of them, you know, stuff you do every, you know, day stuff, some memory, energy, you know, your outlook on life, I mean, all that stuff. And sad news, though, for the Denver Bronco family, because he is a wonderful owner. And I met him a long time ago, and I really liked the guy. You know, he always seemed to have a smile on his face. And was definitely a cowboy, because the guy always was wearing boots and always had a hat on when I saw him. Pat Bowlen stepping down as the owner. Roy, can we do something? Let's look at the preseason games the first week.
I got them.
Have you got them pulled up?
Yeah.
Let's go through them and talk about them. Who plays each other?
The first game that I have here is the New York Giants against the Buffalo Bills.
You know, that is going to that game will say a lot. Now, they will play the starters probably the first quarter of that game.
Two series?
Yeah, maybe.
Three series?
And then they're going to be bringing the guys in, because there's a lot of guys on the Giants I know that are new players, because they had a lot of guys leave. And they have two or three guys that are out for the year with suspensions, correct? Some pretty decent players, too. That's a problem. Buffalo's supposed to be improved. Buffalo has got a really good front seven on defense. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what the first quarter score is between the Bills and the Giants.
This game is what? This might be next weekend. This is a week from today. This is the Hall of Fame game. So this is
in Canton, Ohio.
So football is a week away. Next Sunday we have football, and it's the New York Giants and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and I got
that's ridiculous.
It's gonna
have you started your fantasy draft yet? We're getting there.
You know I haven't.
I need to set it up.
I'm still listen. Matt's in first place. I picked up. You know what I just did in my score sheet? For those of you that play scoresheet.com or you're in the 162 game league, and they're everywhere across the country. One guy runs them all.
That's where it started.
It's amazing how he does it. I hope he makes money, because he's a real nice guy. I just traded 10 draft choices, lower round draft choices, like 25 through 34.
Okay.
For Freddie Freeman.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't have a first baseman like Freddie. I have the best earned run average in the league. I have the most wins in the league. But I don't have a very good hitting team. Because my first baseman is the first baseman for the Miami Marlins. You know, for the Florida Marlins, it's the left-handed hitter used to be in Pittsburgh. That's the way my brain works. Maybe
I'm a left-handed hitter who used to be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, what's his name? Look him up. You can find him. He's actually having a decent year. He's hitting about .248. He's got like 13, 14 home runs. Not a bad ball player. He's young, too. He's not real old. He's probably 25, 26. But I'm going to look back. We're talking about football now. What's the next game that you have laid out there?
The next game, let me go to week one here. I was jumping around trying to see if I could get that Marlins guy for a second.
No, you don't.
Not much comes up in a Google search when you hit Marlins lefty used to be a pirate. So...
Marlins left-handed hitting first baseman, it would.
So the Colts.
I'll think of his name in a minute. That's how bad my offense is. I've got David Wright. I've got Robinson Cano.
So he's the Marlins first baseman?
I got Marlon Byrd. I got
the next preseason game is.
Greg is his first name, I think.
Gabby Sanchez?
No, it's not Gabby, but he's on my team. But he's on my farm team now.
All right. Well, the next preseason football game.
Since
we're just jumping around in sports here, let's.
If you can follow this show, you're good.
It would be the Indianapolis Colts and the New York Jets. Sticking with New York.
Now let me tell you, two teams.
Garrett Jones.
Hey, two teams going in opposite direction. Yes,
Garrett Jones.
Yeah,
that's how you multitask, ladies and gentlemen.
And let me just tell you, Garrett Jones is sitting the pine right now.
Yeah, well, Freddie should be sitting the pine. I don't even know Garrett Jones.
Freddie, look up his stats. They're not terrible. They're average.
You shouldn't have an average guy in fantasy. I mean, I don't.
We got 20 teams in my league.
Oh, that's a lot of teams.
Yeah, and I have 30. I have like 40 guys on my roster.
That's ridiculous.
Well, no, it's a real team. It's like it's like I own a franchise. And you know what? I inherited it. I didn't draft it. I drafted. We got to keep 13 guys from last year's team. Then we drafted. And I screwed up. If I'd have kept Julio Teheran, Oh, I'd be way out in front.
252 batting average.
Yeah, he's average.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's
average. Who's your starter?
My starter's Johnny Cueto's my number one.
Oh, okay. So you
I got Gio Gonzalez. I got Johnny Cueto. I've got De La Rosa from the Colorado Rockies, who's having a really good year. Mm-hmm. He's throwing really good now. Trying to think who my other guys are. Hey, we're talking football, though. Indianapolis, everything I read about them says they're going to struggle this year. Why? Because they had a lot of guys leave. They had a lot of guys leave this past year. What's the good news? Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you think the Colts are going to struggle?
I think they're going to struggle. I really do. You know why? Because everybody in that division is going to get better. They're in the same division.
Jaguars aren't going to get better.
They are going to get better, and so is Tennessee.
No.
Yeah, they are. Trust me. My buddy Ron Middleton. Listen, he don't lie to me.
I know you're going to be. They're going to be good.
They can't get worse. So they're going to get a little.
They can't get worse. No, that's true.
And they have a good coaching staff, and they had a great draft this year.
They suck.
Look at their draft.
I know. They took Blake Bortles with the third pick.
I like Blake Bortles.
I bet you do.
Everybody liked Blake Bortles. They needed a quarterback.
He liked Blake Bortles compared to every other quarterback came out of this draft. They're all crap.
Well, Blake Bortles, hey, you know what? You can say what you want, but Blake Bortles will probably
put
play.
Great numbers in the what do you
I would say
in,
that
the
he and Manziel, hey, he and Manziel go in about the same game this year, probably game six.
Well, yeah, they both play for crappy teams.
Well, yeah, but exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Brian Hoyer is taking first team snaps in Cleveland. You can talk to Tony.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to be leaving at 11:30. It's going to be the Roy and Tony Mazur show from 11:30 to 12. You guys will have fun.
Lots of cartoon music.
Yeah.
And
maybe Johnny Manziel is rolling up $100 bills.
So roll
now.
Up the. Can you get that ready? The fart jokes, bro. Do that. Okay.
So, but anyway, we talked about Indianapolis and who are they playing?
The Jets.
Yeah, and the Jets. We already picked them for the playoffs. They're going to be 9-7.
I do like the Jets.
I do too. And listen, I just read.
Speaking of the Jets, Geno Smith came out and said he thinks that he's going to be a top five quarterback this year,
which is pretty funny. I think
he just needs to worry about not losing his job to Mike Vick. That's kind of how I look at it.
I predict Mike Vick starts game one.
You think so?
Absolutely. Man. Mike Vick is always great out of camp.
There might be a circus surrounding the Jets. Not that there isn't every season.
Not if they're winning.
Starts week one.
He's going to start week one.
So you'd bench Geno Smith?
Absolutely. I would if Mike's having a better preseason than him.
Isn't that what screwed up Mark Sanchez? They benched
Mark Sanchez just sucks. I mean, there's nothing you can't do anything to sell me on Mark Sanchez. Mm-hmm. Weak arm, weak mind, weak ego.
He does have a weak mind.
He's weak. He let that woman from...
He's an Eagle now.
Yeah, that's perfect. He'll never see the field. You know what he's going to be? He's going to be holding the clipboard for the rest of his life.
He probably does a pretty good job of it.
What? He's good looking.
He's a good...
I mean, he'll look good with his helmet off. Yeah. And those guys don't have to wear their helmets.
Right.
So the chicks will be looking at him.
Good for Philly.
All right. What's the next game we want to talk about? What's the next game?
The next preseason game, the San Francisco 49ers at the Baltimore Ravens.
You know, what a great preseason game.
That's brother versus brother.
We need to go see that game. It's right down the street.
Is it at Baltimore?
Yes.
It's at Baltimore.
Let's go see it.
You want creds?
What day is it?
Let's see a creds. I'll hit my boy.
What day is
Mr.
it?
Gleason.
Well, we'll be in the damn box. What day is it on?
7:30 game. It doesn't have a
date. Is it a Friday night, Saturday night, or Sunday? It's probably Saturday night.
August 7th. So whatever. That would be a Thursday.
You know what that is? That's an NFL Network.
Don't act like you knew that.
Hey, that's an NFL Network preseason game is what it is.
You think so?
Yeah, because it's Thursday night. They always do those on Thursday night. And that's a great game.
You're right. Think about it. NFL Network.
Hey, Ravens got to get better, right?
You can also listen to Westwood One.
Hey, and Ray Rice can play in the preseason.
He can play in the preseason.
So Ray Rice will be there. There'll be three women, you know, outside, you know, big old 550-pound women with signs up.
It's in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Nobody cares in Baltimore.
Nobody cares anywhere. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. See ya.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back for the second hour. Congratulations. We're still in the air, Bruce.
Yeah, we haven't here we go.
We didn't get kicked off yet.
So that's a bunch of BS.
Since we are still on the line, still on the air, we're going to run down some preseason stuff.
Hurry.
The Washington Redskins are hosting New England Patriots for an entire week leading up to this game. They play a 7:30 game.
I am already getting calls for tickets on that game.
I bet you are.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to get a few. Next game. I don't care. It's going to be a very entertaining game for the Washington football
team. Redskins.
Redskins.
So the Cincinnati Bengals at the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Chiefs supposedly weren't as good as their record was last year. It was more of their schedule. And by the way, that was the big hit we had in Vegas last year.
Yeah, big hit.
And who are they playing first game?
The Bengals.
You know what? I don't see Marvin Lewis showing much. They had a decent draft, though. And and they moved some guys around.
Look at Matt double fisting.
But they lost. Listen, they lost their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator. So it's going to be interesting to see what the heck's going on, because no matter what you say, things are going to be different in Cincinnati. Right. Next game.
Seattle Seahawks. Wow, look at this. Week one preseason, we have a rematch of the Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos, who conveniently don't let fans at their practice facility because the air conditioning's broken or some crap.
Is this at Denver?
It's at Denver against Seattle. If I'm Denver, man, I'm blowing them out. Got embarrassed in the Super Bowl. It's only preseason.
I don't see it happening because they don't have the personnel to blow them out. And I don't even think they had the draft to blow them out.
I would just throw deep every play.
That'll be an interesting game to watch, though. What is that on the same day, Thursday night?
That's a 9 o'clock game, and that is the 7th.
Yeah, same day. So hopefully there's like a 7 o'clock game an 8 o'clock game.
Yeah, the 7:30 game is the Ravens, and the 9 o'clock game.
Well, we're going to be at that game probably if we can make it. Game. All right, next game.
The Cowboys and the Chargers.
Chargers are better than the Cowboys. That's going to be an interesting game. Why didn't they fire Jason Garrett?
8-8 is
evidently what they're happy with. They're happy with that. If you have a spaceship and you have 25 nightclubs inside,
you're not losing, right?
Technically, you just are average.
And the last 2 years,
I guess Jerry likes average.
The last 2 years, or maybe the last 3 years, even, the Cowboys have been one game away from winning the division.
Hey, do you think Jimmy Johnson just laughs his butt off like all the time?
Do you think he's on the other end of the money phone from Johnny Manziel? And the two just can't hear each other because of how much money they have.
Hey, all right, keep going.
The next game is the Miami Dolphins at the Atlanta Falcons. Two teams that kind of disappointed last year.
You know, this is a big game for Atlanta because they made a lot of changes in the offseason.
And
they have a quarterback coming off of an injury.
Yeah, as big as a preseason game can be,
yeah,
this is kind of important for their fans.
It is.
And their $500 season tickets.
Yeah, exactly. It's
the
a joke.
Must be hard life. The Bills at the Panthers the next game. My cousin was actually at the Panthers.
Wait, the Bills are playing. That's the next weekend after the Hall of Fame game. So, yeah, because the Bills are playing the Giants at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they play the Giants at the Hall of
Fame. So that's the next week.
So this will be Friday, August 8th.
Yeah, you know what? The Panthers are going to be good. Now, I don't know how much their starters are going to play, but in my opinion, the Panthers are going to probably win 8 or 9 games again.
Charlotte has been revitalized, you might say, man. I mean, they're getting the Hornets back.
Yeah.
So that the town loves that. Yeah. You know, the Panthers.
It's a basketball town anyway.
Panthers actually had a good season.
Yep.
And they're getting Cam Newton back, who, you know, and he's healthy.
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, the Panthers could be very good this year.
Didn't they lose their big time wide receiver to San Francisco? Steve Smith.
Steve Smith is a Raven.
Oh, he's a Raven.
Yeah, he's a Raven.
Hey, we're going to see him then next week. He'll play the first couple series.
Anquan Boldin went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And Steve Smith went to the Baltimore to kind of replace Anquan Boldin.
Well, they needed to get younger. And they have decent wide receivers.
Steve Smith's old.
Yeah, but you know what? He's still good.
Yeah, no. I mean, the Panthers, I don't really know who they drafted somebody to replace him. I don't remember who it was.
I think it was the first round pick was a wide receiver.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But, all right, go to the next game.
All right, so the next game would be the Buccaneers at the Jaguars. That's going to be a shootout.
Everybody thinks, well, Buccaneers have a new coach.
Don't watch that game.
Buccaneers have a new coach,
If that game is on in your demographic, go read a book.
And who are they playing, the Bucs?
Jaguars.
I like the Jags. I think the Jags are going to improve. I think the Jags win 6 to 8 games this year.
If you live in Florida, watch the Dolphins-Falcons game instead of that.
Yeah, well, the Dolphins-Falcons game is going to be a little bit more interesting. I wonder how long it's going to take for this offensive line for the Dolphins to rebuild, because they lost basically the left side of their line last year with that bullying scandal. You know, when I'm hearing about 330-pound guys bullying each other, I don't consider that bullying. I consider that sumo wrestling.
Yeah, it's a bullying.
What's the next game?
Boo-hoo. The Philadelphia Eagles at the Chicago Bears.
Now, that's going to be an interesting game.
That's two teams who should be playoff
teams. I wonder if Cutler's going to be 100% by that game.
Cutler, man.
Yeah, tell me about it. Most overrated quarterback in the history of quarterbacks.
I really like Cutler.
Yeah, but he's not that good.
He's just...
Hey.
Every time I want to defend him, I just... I can't.
What's the guy's
name? I really
like him. What's the guy's name that went to Tampa? It was so good.
It was Tambo.
Isn't that where he went? The backup to Cutler. He's I want to say he's in Tampa as a starter now. He is, and Cutler wasn't as good as he was. He actually made Chicago's season last year.
I forget what his name was. I'll look it up.
We're big time sports guys. You know, and
Josh McCown,
super quarterback, did a great job. Just signed a big deal with Tampa, right?
I don't know.
Look up Buccaneers.com. I got it right here.
Josh McCown, American quarterback. Yes, he plays for the Buccaneers.
And you know what? He'll be the starter too. And you know who's going to be his backup? The guy from Westfield High School.
Yeah,
that started last year.
Yes,
and did a pretty good job actually. The problem that they had is defensively they had holes. Yeah, Mike Glennon.
Yeah,
Went to Virginia Tech.
Did he go to Tech?
Sean Glennon. You're right.
His brother went
to NC State.
Yeah,
North Carolina State.
Sean Glennon, his older brother, who went to Westfield with Eddie Royal. They both went to Tech.
That's
together.
Right. All right. And so Eddie Royal, he's a Charger.
Yeah.
Go next game.
He went to Westfield, too.
Yep.
Saints at the Rams will be the next game.
You know where the Saints are? They're at the Homestead. Their practice camp is at the Homestead in Virginia. And if you get chance to go there, yeah, because Peter King's been bitching about the Homestead on Twitter for 2 days. There's nothing to do here. We're so far from everywhere. You got one of the most beautiful golf courses in the country there. You got a casino there, Peter. Get out of your room and have some fun.
He's complaining about doing his job.
He's an idiot.
He's a normal person.
I actually like Peter King, but he's being an idiot. He's just being a little crybaby. He likes to be in the city and likes to drink like coffee all day.
I like coffee.
I do
next
too.
The next game we have is the Oakland Raiders at the Minnesota Vikings. Two very, very bad teams.
Well, but you know what? I like the Vikings coming out. And this would be a good game to bet on, and I'll tell you why. The Vikings have a new coach, and he's a defensive guy. And they've made some changes on their offense, and Adrian Peterson is healthy, so they're gonna probably come out and spank Oakland early. Now, if Oakland has some pretty good backups, they might be a little bit better in the second half. But a lot of people think Minnesota's going to be okay this year.
I don't.
Well, I do, because I don't see Chicago being that good.
I think Chicago's going to be good. I think Green Bay's going to be
good.
See,
you think Chicago's going to be good every year, and every year you get disappointed.
They were good last year. They were.
Yeah, they were 9-7. That's because of McCown. But they don't have McCown anymore.
Well,
they got Jay Cutler, who will go down to a knee injury or a shoulder injury or an elbow injury or a groin injury in the first week of the season.
Chicago was good last year.
Yeah, because
that whole division is good.
His name is Josh McCown.
That's the best division. Well, it's not the second best division in the NFC, because I would say the West is the best division.
All right, next one. Let's do one more before
Matt
pulls
us out of here. One more before we get out of here. The Browns at the Lions.
Lions have... They have a new coaching staff, basically.
Yeah.
The Browns have Johnny Manziel. Indoors.
That's going to be the Johnny Manziel show.
Can I tell you what?
Because he's not going to start, so he's going to get two quarters.
He's going to probably play the second half.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm watching. What time is that on? What day?
That is a 7:30 game on Saturday.
Oh, that's where I'm at.
NFL Network.
That's where I am.
I'll watch it.
I'm watching it, too. You want to watch it together?
No.
Hey, bite me, Roy. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. I've memorized this. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm a realtor, and we'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
They are who I thought they were.
They.
You weren't ready for that?
No,
Get the levels right, Matt.
All right, hey, we're talking baseball
what
now.
Are you even doing
We've already
over there?
Figured. Hey, we're talking baseball now. I'm going to go over the American League standings quickly. And by the way, the New York Yankees have found back, some energy. They're winning some games. I tried to draft. We have a late draft in my pool. Uh-huh. Tried to draft Ishiro. The guy before me drafted Ishiro. I got Sam.
Did you fight him?
You know who I got? Sam Fold, who's having a pretty good year in Minnesota.
I always hate that when somebody drafts somebody in front of me.
Right in front of me. It's happened like four times to me this year. We have 20 teams in the league.
It happens to me all the time.
So the guy was good. But look, Baltimore's in first place by three games with a 57-46 record. A lot of people will say they're probably the team that's going to win it. I would give them about...
You think Baltimore's going to win it?
Yeah, I would give them about a 35% chance at winning. The Yankees have about a 20% chance, in my opinion, of winning.
So you think Toronto's got a better
I think chance? Toronto's about 20%, too. I think Tampa's like 5%, and I think Boston's 5%. So you could actually raise Baltimore to probably 40, New York to 20. Toronto to 20, Tampa to 10, Boston to 10. That's the way they're going to end up, in my opinion. Central Division, you got the Detroit Tigers doing it. 5.5 games out in front of three teams, actually. Cleveland, Chicago, Kansas City. Nobody there is going to be in the playoffs but Detroit. Detroit has the best pitching staff, and they have Miggy. They have Miggy. You know, I mean, they've got some Torrey Hunter. I mean, they got a good team. Oakland. Best team in the American League, 63-39, doing it with guys you don't even know. Los Angeles, 20 games over 500. The Angels will make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Will they win the West? No.
Maybe. Well,
no, I don't think so.
They're definitely in striking distance.
Here's why I don't think they're going to do it. Their pitching is barely holding
Oakland
on.
Oakland
right
has
now.
Better pitching.
Well, they have more pitching, too. They're deeper. Houston, maybe next year. Texas, what did I said about Texas all year? They suck.
Yeah, fire the manager.
They suck, fire the manager, start from scratch. That's what you get when you get rid of when Nolan Ryan leaves you,
You're
done.
Yeah.
National League East, our Washington Nationals.
That's right. Those are our boys.
Of course, the New York Mets fans are going, what do you mean
don't you turn this off like they were listening.
But anyway, Washington is a game and a half out in front of Atlanta. Either of those two teams is going to win it. I think the other's in a wild card position. Miami is three games under because of their first baseman, who I couldn't remember his name.
Garrett Jones.
Yeah, New York Mets. Hey, Sandy, you're a seller. Start selling, man. I mean, they got to sell their second base. They got to sell. No, their second baseman is going to get picked up probably before the deadline. And I would say that one of their pitchers is gone. Either Nice or the other guy.
How about the Philadelphia Phillies, though? That's a baseball
I was in Philly this weekend.
They're selling everybody.
You know who I called? I called Mike Rizzo, and I left his secretary a message, and I said, this is Bruce Hall. Mike knows me. Tell him I was in Philly watching the Giants play Philly, and we need to get Marlon Byrd back. Marlon Byrd, you know what he is? He's Bryce Harper insurance because he's better right now than Bryce Harper.
Yeah, what are the Nationals going to give up to get?
They don't have to give up much. He's 38 years old. All they have to give him is like a minor league pitcher, and they'll be perfectly happy. Trust me, they're sellers. They are sellers. Wouldn't you agree? And Chase Utley, he's got to go somewhere.
Chase Utley, Ryan Howard.
Well, Ryan Howard's not going to get picked up because he's got too big of a contract.
He's going somewhere.
Now what they might do is trade him and eat 80% of his contract.
AJ Burnett's probably on that team too, right?
Yeah, and he's going to Baltimore. The word has AJ Burnett in Baltimore.
He does live in Moncton.
Yeah, his wife lives there. You're right. We talked about that last weekend, right?
I drive by his house every time.
In the Central Division, the Milwaukee Brewers. My buddy,
same neighborhood,
John Naren.
No big
deal. Listen, you're talking to Matt. Talk to me. John Naren with Milwaukee, 59-46. They're three games out in front of St. Louis. St. Louis is hanging on, Roy.
Yeah.
And they're all beat up. And by the way, Mr. Wainwright, remember where you heard this first?
Mm-hmm.
TJ.
I can't stand
TJ,
it.
Last three outings, he looks like his arm. Something's wrong with his arm. Pittsburgh, I don't see it unless they pick up a couple of big pieces, especially pitching.
Those are my boys, man. I love the P-Funks.
And by the way, Cincinnati's done. I said when Joey Votto went down, their season was over. I was right. Chicago Cubs, still 4 years away from being in the first division.
Now
LA's in San Francisco right now. They're only a half game out. They've beaten the Giants two games straight. which isn't surprising. Kershaw threw a two-hitter last night. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. Yeah. He's just amazing.
Oh, so now he's good?
Yeah.
Remember when I was saying that he was
he
good?
Reminds
year,
he reminds me of my Joseph Vanderplas.
Earlier this year, you told me he sucked.
I love Kershaw.
All right, good.
No, I love him.
Glad we're on the same page.
If they hadn't put him on a plane for 18 hours to Australia and screwed his back up, his ERA would be like 0 point something now.
He's a monster.
Yeah, San Diego.
You skipped over your boys.
San Diego just got rid of their closer.
Why'd you skip your boys?
San Francisco? Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, here.
You don't want to talk about it.
They just picked up Jake Peavy. Look, they just picked up Jake Peavy. They need to pick up Price. They need to go ahead and commit to spending $180 to $190 million a year and get David Price so they can get 2 to 3 rings in the next 5 years. If they don't do that, they're going to struggle every year. Why struggle when you've got the money? Hey, Larry Bird, get off your wallet. Come on, man. Get a life.
Come on, man.
He's executive VP of the Giants. I like Larry. Larry's a good guy, but he's tighter than a Nats rear end, if you know what I mean. You can't stick a daggone straight pin up his rear end because he's too tight. Arizona, 44-59. Hey, they're done. Colorado, they're done. Okay? It's going to be San Francisco, L.A., Milwaukee, St. Louis, Pittsburgh's still in it, Washington, Atlanta. Everybody else is playing golf. Baltimore, New York, and Toronto are in it. Tampa Bay, contrary to what you hear, they're done. Detroit is the only team in the Central. Mm-hmm. Oakland, L.A., Seattle's done. They're done. They're 54-50, but they're done. Let's look at the games for today. How much time we got, Matt?
So you say Oakland, Detroit, and Baltimore.
So good. We got plenty of time.
Oakland, Detroit, and Baltimore all win the divisions. Yankees, Angels, wild card. Right?
Yeah.
Nationals, Milwaukee. Who's winning the West?
Well, I think the Nationals do win the East, but Atlanta will be the wild card. I would say Milwaukee wins and St. Louis is a wild card. And I would say San Francisco wins and LA's a wild card.
That's too many wild cards.
Well, then one of them's not going to make it. I say Atlanta.
Louis.
No, Atlanta doesn't make it.
You think Atlanta?
You know why Kimbrel, his elbow is a little tender, is what I hear.
So you say Milwaukee wins the division, Dodgers win the division, and then San Francisco and St. Louis are wild cards?
No, I didn't pick L.A. I picked San Francisco.
So San Francisco wins the division.
San Francisco is going to win the division. All right. L.A. is going to be a wild card for sure.
Okay.
Now, if St. Louis heats up, and by the way, they're looking for a pitcher. And guess what? They're number one in the David Price pool. If they get David Price, St. Louis is going to win that division. You got to trust me. Let's go over the games. Toronto's at New York. You got Happ, a left-hander. 4.55 ERA against Green with the Yankees. The Yankees are on a roll. You got to take Green. Got to take the Yankees at home on a Sunday.
They're on a roll, man.
On a Sunday. Yeah, they're winning ball games. Contrary to what everybody looked at. By the way, Ishiro hit his first bomb of the year.
Actually,
yesterday.
Let's pick against the Yankees simply because that's what they've been doing since they've gotten on a roll.
No, you pick them. I'm picking New York because I'm playing with real money.
Go Toronto.
Boston, you got Webster at Archer. Archer is on fire lately. You know, his last couple of times out, he's looked good. I'm going to take Tampa Bay just because it's Boston they're playing. They're terrible.
Boston's awful.
They're done.
They're absolutely awful.
They're done. Take Tampa in that game. You got the White Sox, Carroll at Pino, Minnesota. That game is so bad, I'm passing.
Two teams that suck.
Yeah. Cleveland, Salazar. Not too good.
Man,
The over. Chen, Kansas City, take the over. It's going to be 10-10 in the sixth inning.
Can't wait to talk to Tony about how bad that game is.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, but they're not in Cleveland. Detroit is at the Angels. Santiago for the Angels. You got Porcello, who's pitched phenomenally lately. I'm going to take the Angels anyway because it's a left-hander. And Detroit seems to struggle with lefties for some reason. I have no idea. Take the Angels. Baltimore's at Seattle.
Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore's at Seattle. I'm going to pass because Seattle needs to win.
Mm-hmm.
They just do. And Gonzo's pitching for Baltimore, and you never know with him. Oakland, Kazmir. He's been the story of the second of this part of the season. Kazmir is at Texas. He's 2-1. What does that tell you about Texas?
They suck.
Kazmir has a 2.32 ERA for the year. He's 11-3. He's 2-0 his last three starts with a 0.86. What did we say every Sunday? Take Oakland on Sunday.
Yeah, take Oakland.
They win every Sunday. In the National League, you got Doug Fister with the Washington Nationals Cincinnati. It's Latos. I'm passing on the game because Cincinnati needs to win in Latos.
I'm taking Fister.
Well, good for you, because I don't know, man. Well, that's Pfister's 3-0 his last three starts.
It's a stop outing, too.
All right, is it really? Mm-hmm. Well, then take it. Arizona at Philly. Hernandez, who used to be called something else, whatever that guy's name was.
What?
Yeah, he's the guy that had the fake name, and they let
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the way all
he
those,
used to be called
all those
else.
Guys from the Dominican have like four names, four different birth certificates, kind of like the president. The let's see. No, I'm just kidding.
You're just getting it today.
You got DeGrom. Is that a three, or are you telling me to read between the lines? You've got. Where am I? Oh, DeGrom is my boy with the Mets at Milwaukee. Take the Mets today. Hey, this kid DeGrom is the real deal.
Is right here.
Oh, he's unbelievable. I'm taking the Mets to win today, Sandy. This might be one of the few wins you get in the next month. St. Louis, Wainwright at the Chicago Cubs. Now, let me tell you something about this. Wainwright is -161. What did I just tell you? Something's wrong with his arm. Take the Cubs.
No, don't do that.
I'm taking the Cubs. Hey, just remember who told you to take the Cubs today, people, as an underdog. You got Pittsburgh, Volquez.
They'll remember, and they'll call in.
You got Volquez at Colorado. I'm passing because both pitchers are sucking yin-yang. They're pretty bad. San Diego's at Atlanta. Mike Minor is pathetic. He is the worst left-hander in the league. His last three outings, he's got an 80 ERA. Take San Diego in Atlanta today. I'm taking them because there's no such thing as they don't have a home field advantage in Atlanta.
Okay.
That's not a home field advantage. Take San Diego, even though they don't have a closer.
San Diego's so bad.
You got Ryu at Jake Peavy. I'm not even going to touch this.
Or you can.
I'm taking Jake. I don't care. I'm taking Jake.
He's so bad.
Well, so is Ryu lately.
Right, you can.
Ryu's gained so much weight, he looks like a sumo wrestler.
You're taking a one-game winner.
Sumo wrestlers do not make good pitchers.
With a near 5 ERA against the guy who's an 11-game winner.
Yes, I am.
That's the
homer. I'm taking Jake. You know why I'm taking Jake?
It's the homer heart.
You know what? He loves Boch.
Is Boch even listening? He'd be pissed if
he
took the
Dodgers. No, they're best friends. Him and Jake are best buddies. Jake is like his son.
Is that why he traded for him?
Yes.
He just wanted to hang out with him.
Hey, and look. Yeah. Hey, he's cheap, too. They only had to give up Heath Embry.
Cheap date.
They'd have had to give up six guys for David Price. Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's who I'm picking. Let's go through that again. Mm-hmm. I'm picking the Yankees. I'm picking the Rays.
Yep.
I'm picking the over in the Cleveland-Kansas City game. I'm picking the Angels. I'm picking the Oakland A's.
Where the A stands for Sunday.
Yeah, Roy's taking the Nats. He's
taking the Nats.
He's ridiculous.
Doug Pfister, baby.
I'm taking the Mets. I'm taking the Cubs. I'm taking San Diego. And I'm taking Jake Peavy. I could go 0-4 right there.
You're 0-4.
I'm not. I'll probably be 3-1. For the first time, people, in generations, and I'm talking to all people everywhere now, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors. Members of the National Association of Realtors are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I'll see you next week. Roy is going to be on for the next half hour with our friend from Cleveland, Tony Mazur. And Tony's going to tell us how his partying last night went with Johnny Manziel.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294. Or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome on in. This is the Roy Edwards Hour. You're going to get nothing but sarcasm, terrible, terrible references, and great sports talk. And I will be joined shortly by Mr. Tony Mazur. Apparently, I have to send him a direct message because he doesn't know he's coming on. So,
Tony
will be on soon. As soon as I can send him this.
Drive safe, Bruce.
That's Bruce leaving. See you, Bruce. Have a good one.
Don't let the dog out.
Oh, man.
Tell him what I'm doing.
Walking.
He's leaving. That's what he's doing. All right. So, we already touched on the Ray Rice. Let's recap the show real quick, just so I can buy time as to what the hell I want to talk about. So, I guess we'll do. What do you want to talk about, man? You want to dive into some college football talk? You need to go get your dog? Little dog. All right, well, let's dive into some college football talk. I'm putting together a list on, hey, somebody's calling in. So I've been putting together a list of the top 10 fan bases that I would not want to be a part of, I would hate to be a part of in 2014. We have a call. Matt, answer it. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Tony Mesher calling.
Yes, Tony. What's up, Tony? So tell me everything that's going on in Cleveland and how awesome it is.
Well, it's going. I mean, that's all I can say right now is it's going. There's stuff going on, a lot of goings.
A lot of goings.
Except the Indians, of course.
So
the Indians are sick in the
The Indians are so bad. So we haven't really talked about this yet, but LeBron James, we seemingly have you on every week because Cleveland is just the freaking mecca of sports talk these days. But David Blatt, okay, he is the he's the new head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, the old Cleveland Cavaliers coach. I believe he just signed a contract with the Lakers yesterday. So David Blatt, whereas LeBron James, the first time he left Cleveland, he wanted to be around a coach who was proven, had NBA titles. You know, that was the whole word. He got Eric Spoelstra, who was a young unknown and somebody who LeBron has seen multiple times disrespecting, you know, bouncing around, you know, just shouldering him, whatever. And now he gets David Blatt, who is a relative unknown. So, I mean, how do you see that playing out with LeBron James? And is that a hot topic around Cleveland right now?
No, it's not actually. A lot of people really enjoy David Blatt. I know all the McAfee Tel Aviv games that people in Cleveland have watched over the years. I mean, they're just glued, DVRing every single game, I tell you. But that's like the least concerning thing that's happening in Cleveland because, of course, you know the whole Kevin Love saga that's now dragged on to what 2 weeks now. It's been 2 weeks since LeBron. Actually, since the draft, Kevin Love leaked it to a reporter or his agent said that if LeBron James comes to Cleveland, then Kevin Love would want to be traded there. And now that whole situation is just, I mean, who knows? We might have to wait another 28 days because of the rookie contract that were signed.
Right, I was just about to ask you about that. Andrew Wiggins signs a 30-day contract with a no-trade clause, which is directly linked, of course, to this Kevin Love deal going on. So, to me, the possibility that this trade goes down and actually happens is slim to none. I don't think it's happening. I think Andrew Wiggins stays in Cleveland. You know, Flip Saunders doesn't really want to part with Kevin Love there, and he thinks that he can build something special or, you know, whatever the Minnesota's, whatever their high hopes and dreams are. I mean, I think Kevin Love is leaving Minnesota, but Flip Saunders thinks otherwise. And then you have this contract to Andrew Wiggins for 30 days. So, I mean, you're about to touch on it, but what is, I mean, do you think this trade actually happens? And do you think, where at the end of the day, do you think Andrew Wiggins is a Cleveland Cavalier?
I think that there is a possibility. I don't want to say a good possibility. There's a possibility you can keep Andrew Wiggins and still get Kevin Love in a trade because the term that we've been kicking around for a while is leverage. And we looked at Minnesota. They have no leverage. Flip Saunders has proven himself to be a pretty good coach. I'm not going to say he's a great coach, but he's been a pretty good coach. Now he's an executive. Now with no David Kahn up there in Minnesota, Minnesota is just not the destination for Kevin Love. And what the Cavs need to do, on the Cavs side, they need to do anything they can to get Kevin Love, in my opinion, because he just adds another dynamic and a dynamic that then they say, well, he had to carry the entire team all this time. And it's like, well, you know what, even if he scores 20 and 10, that would be excellent for LeBron James. It would be excellent for Kyrie Irving. Minnesota is just, they don't, as much as we'd like to say they could have a future and start to get guys like Ricky Rubio, in my opinion, Ricky Rubio is pretty overrated. Mm-hmm. He can pass the ball, has really no offense, is no, like, he can get a triple-double, but, like, the very minimum triple-double where he could score 10 points, maybe get 10 rebounds that he's kept to himself. Minnesota's just not built properly. And, of course, you saw that with the amount of bad drafts they've had, like Johnny Flynn and Derek Williams. So why would – if you're Kevin Love, why would you want to stick around in the Twin Cities when you can possibly win a championship down in Minnesota?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that Kevin Love really wants to get out of Minnesota, but the key there is that – he's still under contract for another year. So whether or not Minnesota accepts a trade for just for trade's sake is another reason. I think that here's kind of my take on it. I think Kevin Love sticks with Minnesota, and about halfway through the season, he gets moved. I don't think that Kevin Love, I don't think that he's putting enough pressure on the Timberwolves right now to really get out. He's said that he doesn't want to re-sign, but he hasn't really gone out of his way to really cause a fit, something like the Dwight Howard saga that we saw before where it was, okay, you need to do something about this because you're not going to re-sign him. I don't really get that vibe from Kevin Love in Minnesota. I think that that Minnesota and Flip Saunders still believe that there could be some outside chance that they convince him to stay in Minnesota. So Cleveland signing this 30-day contract and keeping Andrew Wiggins, to me, you're gonna have to do a little something more than, you know, what is that, Anthony Bennett or something? I mean, who else do they have really to trade for Kevin Love? How do you get him and keep Andrew Wiggins at the same time?
There's a guy named Deion Waiters who plays for the Cavs who played two seasons, come from Philadelphia, went to Syracuse, was a sixth man at Syracuse, comes into the NBA, he ends up becoming a pretty good sixth man, nice energy guy, but off the bench. But the problem is he wants to start. And you can't blame a guy for putting up decent numbers when he was starting, but on this team, you just drafted Andrew Wiggins. Ray Allen's rumored to come to Cleveland. You have James Jones, Mike Miller have all signed on to be with Cleveland. So you have your share of shooting guards right now, and it just seems that why continue to have another one? Now, if Deion Waiters goes elsewhere and try to be the guy, then that would be good for both parties because I guess, was it last week? I think he was on Twitter and somebody was tweeting at him and he said that he would like to start on the team. Well, that's nice, but you have a pretty good talent core right there. I just don't think that demanding to start when you really haven't proven yourself well enough in this league in order to do that. Now, I think he has a lot of talent, and I think that could be something Minnesota would take a look at. Get a guy who's a trying to see if I can compare him to a local example. Maybe more of like a he's kind of like a John Wall with just not as quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of expendable at this point on the Cavs.
So I'm in the middle of a I guess you could call it a series where I'm doing the top 10. College fan bases that I would hate to be a part of in 2014. Number 10 was Purdue, which if you root for Purdue, shoot yourself. I mean, they don't do anything right. And number 9 was my alma mater in West Virginia University. And on the list, spoiler alert for everybody out there waiting to see who else is on the list, is Texas A&M. Johnny Manziel basically is the heartbeat of Texas A&M, and now he goes over to Cleveland, where Cleveland is having a hard time. I don't know if you want to say justifying the reasons for drafting him. I mean, I love the fit. I think the city loves him, but there's something about the upper office, you know, the front office of the Cleveland Cavaliers and what they're having to do, putting up with his off-field antics, the rolling up of the 20, the champagne in the float. And now he's coming into camp as the number 2. I know camp just started. So how do you see this quarterback shakedown playing out? I mean, do you think that Manziel starts what? I mean, I think he starts this season, but at what point this season do you really turn the ball over to Manziel?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily turning the ball over. I do believe Ryan Hoyer, the undrafted quarterback at Michigan State, will be the starter opening week.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, he had ACL surgery. And as we've known recently, guys who've had ACL, they're not bouncing back. Like, Adrian Peterson set such a bad precedent that because he's a freak of nature. I don't even think Adrian Peterson is human. Hmm. He has an ACL, he tears ACL, has surgery, comes back, rushes for 2,000 yards the very next season.
You don't do that.
It's not like that with everybody. You see RG3. Robert Griffin could barely stay on the field last year. He was so ineffective. It was his plant foot that went down.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody to really be, because Hoyer had the surgery, I think, in maybe late October, early November. I'm not sure of the timetable. But, you know, you do the math, that's like 9 months ago. It's like actually not even. So how can you recover from such a major surgery like that and be that effective? So it's going to be interesting, but I think they will end up giving it to Hoyer. And by the way, if the Browns are shocked and alarmed, is what the report was the other day, shocked and alarmed by Johnny Manziel's off-the-field antics, they shouldn't be. And I think that's just a smokescreen because I know they're trying to control him. They're trying to calm him down and, you know, stop him from partying. But, you know, this is what they got themselves into when drafting him. You have to understand that when you do this, you get a guy who's had a history, just like if you get the honey badger,
right?
Who's had a history of you know, the marijuana, the synthetic marijuana, then.
Right. Hey, Tony, can you hold on for one more segment, buddy? We're up against a break. Can you hold on for one more segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back with Tony Mazur, and he will finish this all on the side. Promise.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We were just talking about the Johnny Manziel distractions off the field. I don't know if that's what you want to call them. The circus that Cleveland is having to put up with. I mean, I don't see really a problem with it. I mean, you knew what you were getting out of Johnny Manziel when you brought him in. You knew what you were getting at when you drafted him. You knew that's the reason why he was dropping down the draft board. And Tony, to me, we were talking about this earlier on the show with Bruce. Bruce said that Blake Bortles, he thought that he was a great quarterback and that he was going to turn things around down in Jacksonville, which I completely disagree with. I think Blake Bortles sucks. He's unproven, and I think that he played in an extremely weak conference throughout college, and he got blown out whenever he played any real competition. So, I mean, that's just me. I think Jacksonville is going to continue to suck, and I think Blake Bortles will continue to be nothing here in the NFL. And then that leaves Johnny Manziel, the other quarterback that you could have drafted in this draft. I mean, I know there was Bridgewater, which I don't think is any good either because he has to wear gloves all the time. And then there's Johnny Manziel, who has all of the circus and media clouds surrounding him. So you say that Cleveland shouldn't be, I don't know, surprised that Johnny is being Johnny, so to speak, and that they have no real reason to be surprised or whatever. I mean, whatever you want to classify it as. I mean, Cleveland knew what they were getting into, and they shouldn't be surprised. But is there a point where Johnny can go too far with this?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I read this story. Apparently, Mike Pett, the head coach, said that because now all the playbooks are electronic. I think they're all iPad.
Right. Yeah.
And he knows when he's taking a look at the playbook, the coach. And it's alerted how many times he's logging in and checking out the playbook. And, I mean, obviously they're not going – Petten's not going to come out unless he's just a moron and says, you know, yeah, well, he's not doing this or he's doing this and actually giving raw numbers. Probably not going to happen. However, Mantel's been doing his share of partying. He's enjoyed it. But you know what? If he's in town – and he's not doing this. If we go some weeks or a month without seeing Johnny on a swan drinking champagne or rolling $20 bills in the bathroom, I don't know. I mean, maybe he was rolling the $20 bills because just like, you know how you roll stuff to put, like your clothes to put in a suitcase so it doesn't wrinkle? Maybe he didn't want his dollar bills wrinkled.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't have a wallet. You know, maybe he's just...
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe he was using it as a straw to drink his Jack and Coke. You know, we don't know, to be honest with you. But I mean, there's definitely a limit where, and I think you're right. I think it is at that point where it affects his on the field play and a stuff that actually concerns the Cleveland Browns. I mean, believe it or not, being in a bathroom and rolling up a $20 bill has zero to do with the Cleveland Browns and if he's going to be a good quarterback. Him drinking champagne.
The one problem is that we've heard though. Because of the $20 bills, the bathroom, they're rolling them up. It becomes that he represents the Cleveland Browns on this level, and he needs to be a role model. He needs to be this and that. And of course, we all know that with the Charles Barkley thing, you know, should the athlete be a role model? And it goes through that whole thing. But unfortunately, in our society, the way it is, you kind of have to be. So what kids are going to look at, I mean, they don't look up to people that they should, you know, teachers, firemen, police officers. They're looking up to athletes and entertainers and stuff. But, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a whole different situation. But still, you know, Manziel's, they're trying to control him. I think once the season starts going, I don't know how many opportunities he'll have out there. But also on the same token, the wide receiver on the team, Josh Gordon, got a DWI a month ago. He's on the verge of being suspended. And of course, you guys probably talked about the Ray Rice situation earlier.
Yeah.
You take a look at Manziel drinking champagne on a swan and you go, I guess that's really not bad compared to the other stuff that's come out recently.
Yeah.
Justin Blackman, this guy can't keep his nose clean or his urine clean either.
Yeah, and that was a guy that there was lots of stories surrounding him when he was at, where was he, Oklahoma State, I believe.
Yeah, he was Brandon Weeden's wide receiver.
Yeah, so I mean, when he was out in Oklahoma State, you know, he had the wristbands of the kid that he wore. You know, he was like really, really involved in the community and the children around. And there was a similar story with Payne of Michigan State when he had that, you know, the girl that he like took to all the games. Who unfortunately she lost her battle with cancer. But it was the same kind of thing that Blackman was doing in college, and he had all this positive hype around him. And now what? He's been suspended twice for drug use. I mean, so until Manziel starts failing drug tests and he really starts hurting the Browns on the field, I don't see a reason. I mean, yeah, you want your quarterback to be the face of your franchise, and you want your quarterback to be this, you know, picturesque kind of Brady Manning kind of person, but that's not who Manziel is. And if you drafted Manziel to try to change him and to be a Peyton Manning, you're fighting an uphill losing battle, in my opinion. You need to let Johnny Manziel be the person that he is until it starts affecting the on-field play, which brings me to training camp. And yesterday was the first day of Brown's training camp. So, I mean, how did he look on the field after all of this off the field incidents, since he'd been drafted?
From what I heard on the first day of training camp, both quarterbacks, Brian Hoyer and Manziel, did not look that great. I mean, admittedly, it's the first time, right. You know, first training camp and everything, but you remember, you have an unproven, you have two unproven quarterbacks, guys that can show that they could take the reins of being a franchise quarterback, but it's just not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't look very good. Apparently, some of the players failed conditioning tests. It was one of those things. But I will say, though, so many people, I mean, they're selling tickets now to training camp. Like, it used to be, you know, you walk up there, everything's fine. They're selling out training camp for the Browns. And it really is kind of, I mean, it's Manziel, it's LeBron, it's all of these factors have come into play that the Cleveland is just being, you know, transformed at this point. So even if Manziel doesn't get on the field this year, it's kind of him being drafted was good enough PR for the city.
Yeah, and then not to mention, you know, a couple of weeks later they get, you know, LeBron James back. So the whole – I mean, that city's vibing right now except for their wide receiver and Josh Gordon. So
yep.
Josh Gordon gets this long suspension. I believe he's gone for the year. Is that the official word on Josh Gordon?
It hasn't been official. They're still – I think they're going to go through the appeals process soon. But, you know, it's looking like a year. And, of course, you know, you saw it the other day, and you're – you know, Mr. Raven over there,
yeah.
With Ray Rice and that whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's the thing where it's, well, how does Ray Rice beat his wife and get two games, and Josh Gordon smokes pot and gets a full season? And of course, we all know the priorities of the NFL are, you know, have been out of whack for a long time. But, I mean, the thing is, and not to defend, I'm not defending Ray Rice or anything, or I'm not justifying it.
Mm-hmm.
But with Josh Gordon, the dude's like Justin Blackman, needs help. Someone needs to reach out to him and say, you can't do this. You cannot go on the field. You just, look, you enjoy the partying life. And it's like the whole Chris Carter situation from when he was with the Eagles. Buddy Ryan cut him, and it was the best thing to happen to him. Does Josh Gordon need to be cut for him to wake up? Or is he going to be like a Maurice Claret type of situation, a Steve Howe, guys who just, you know, maybe figure it out later in life. Or Doc Gooden is another one where he had all the talent in the world and he just could not keep that nose of his clean and it ended up being his worst enemy for the next 20-something years. Apparently he's clean now and staying out of trouble, but maybe that's something that could happen to Josh Gordon, or he can figure it out now and get on the right path. So I don't know, but it's looking like a year, and hopefully he uses that time away from the Browns and away from football and away from the partying and just kind of wake up and look at life and saying, I can't do this anymore. I'm not a child. I'm not 18. I'm not drinking jungle juice at a party.
Yeah, no, we actually did. We brought up Maurice Claret earlier and compared that. So that's funny that you brought up that same comparison. And I mean, I'm on your side with this. There's a part when people screw up. I mean, we're all human. Everybody screws up. Hitting your wife is a little more than screwed up. But at the same time, from all accounts that I have heard, and the majority of people surrounding the situation, this is a I don't know if you want to call it this is a one time thing. From what we've all understood, this is an isolated situation going on with Ray Rice. With Josh Gordon, this has been going since college. All right, I mean, Josh Gordon was in the supplemental draft because of things like this. So, I mean, at some point you have to question if this guy is ever going to turn around. And I think the comparisons between him and Ray Rice are unfair. I think that you're, I've seen the memes. Everybody's seen the memes or whatever you want to call them. The NFL suspends a guy for a year for drug use and gives another guy 2 years for beating his wife. Well, I mean, you know the rules when you sign a contract as a player. In your contract, it clearly states out, if you use drugs once, you get suspended for this amount of games. If you use twice, and if you use three times, you get this amount of games. So Josh Gordon knew. And nowhere in your contract does it say, if TMZ releases a video of you maybe hitting your wife and carrying her throughout an elevator, you get 2 games. It doesn't say that anywhere. So it was kind of up to the commissioner at that point.
And really, the drug policy in the NFL is actually more lenient than a lot of people think. There's like a 3 month period where you can't do it. Like you just got to lay off and then you can take the test. Guys do it all the time. I mean, I'm not breaking any news here and saying that this is, this is just like something that happens. Oh my gosh. A lot of guys do it and they know the time. And I've talked to former football players, current football players, and they're like, yeah, it's like a lot of guys have done it. And if you get caught, you are a moron. Like, it's one thing if it's steroids, it's one thing if it's HGH, one thing if it's Adderall or something. But if you're doing, smoking pot or doing blow, that is a major problem. And it's like that in the NBA, too, if you get caught for that. It's like kind of embarrassing if you're an athlete, amongst other athletes.
So real quick, the Cleveland Browns, Baltimore Ravens both have these issues going on. The Pittsburgh Steelers have somehow slid under the radar with this offseason. There's no news coming out of Pittsburgh. So that kind of sets them up for a healthy season. Cincinnati loses their offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. I mean, this division is in trouble. I mean, really. Figuratively and literally, they are in trouble. So, I mean, who do you see coming out of this division? Who do you think takes it out? Real quick, we got 30 seconds.
I'm still going Cincinnati, even depending on whatever that happens to quarterback. I know Mike Brown the other day, the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, said that Andy Dalton deserves Kaepernick's money. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? No. But I still think Cincinnati is a superb defense, great offense, Sam Dalton, great running back core to pitch off to. I think Cincinnati comes out at Pittsburgh.
I agree with you, buddy. Got to cut you off. Thanks for having me. This has been Bruce Hall, Second Opinion, AM 1230 WFAS.